Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the dedication readings for this feast, the dedication of the Basilica of St. Mary Major. I've been into that church. I would call it a huge place, and just pray there. It is a beautiful place. And it's the oldest of Rome's Marian churches. It was consecrated to Mary by Pope Sixtus around the year 435. During the pontificate of the Pope, St. John Paul II maintained an oil lamp that burned constantly before the icon of Mary. In regard to Marian devotion, he wrote, "Each of us must understand that such devotion not only addresses a need of the heart, but it also corresponds to the objective truth about the Mother of God. The Mother of God is the Mother of the Church." We need to think about that. The Mother of God is the Mother of the Church. So let's take a look at these readings, because they're long and I want to make sure that I cover the most important parts. The first reading is from the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verses 1 to 13. "The whole congregation of the children of Israel arrived in the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people settled at Kadesh. It was here that Miriam died, and here that she was buried. As the community had no water, they held a council against Moses and Aaron." You don't give us what we need. And they're speaking against them. "The people contended with Moses, claiming, 'Would that we too had perished with our kinsmen in the Lord's presence. Why have you brought the Lord's assembly into this desert where we and our livestock are dying? Why did you lead us out of Egypt only to bring us to this wretched place which has neither grain, nor figs, nor vines, nor pomegranates? Here there is not even water to drink.' But Moses and Aaron went away from the assembly to the entrance of the meeting tent, where they fell prostrate. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Take your staff and assemble the community, you and your brother Aaron, and in their presence, order the rock to yield its waters. From the rock they shall bring forth water for the congregation and their livestock to drink.' So Moses took his staff from its place before the Lord as he was ordered." Not what he wanted to do, but as he was ordered. He and Aaron, he didn't think he had any power of anything, but he and Aaron assembled the community in front of the rock, where he said to them, 'Listen to me, you rebels. Are we to bring water for you out of this rock?' And then raising his hand, Moses struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out in abundance for the people and their livestock to drink. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you were not faithful to me in showing forth my sanctity before the children of Israel, you shall not lead this community into the land that I will give them.'" When we hear the Lord, when the Lord speaks to us, we're seeking to follow him. We learn of him, we learn of his word, we see what he's asking us through reading the scripture, daily if you can. The last paragraph says, "These are the waters of Meribah, where the children of Israel contended against God, and when the Lord revealed his sanctity among them." If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That usually comes through reading the scripture. Something really stands out to you. Pay attention to it. "Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him. Come, let us bow down in worship to you. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us, for he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides. Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested me. They tested me though they had seen my works. You know, we can say, well, God did this or God did that, but what about now? I want more. We need to pay attention to what God has done and is doing. With God, there's no time. God is doing for us. Thank him daily for all he does for us. And now we take a look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 23. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" He wants to know. He knows, but he wants to know what they've heard. And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." Brothers and sisters, look at that. Look at the whole passage there from the beginning of the book of Numbers, how he ordered the rock to yield its waters. And Moses had authority to strike the rock twice. Brothers and sisters, more and more and more, God was coming to his people. And everyone doubted. Everyone feared. Everyone couldn't quite believe it. And Moses himself actually disobeyed the Lord. He was told to obey the rock. He was told to order the rock to bring forth the water, but he instead struck the rock two times as if this was his own doing to bring forth water. Brothers and sisters, we've all failed. We all turn away. And he was in the presence of God. He heard the voice of God. And still, he wanted to do it his own way, so he got all the credit, in a sense. I don't know if he thought that through, but that, in effect, is what he is doing. And how much, brothers and sisters, how much do we do that? We listen to the Lord and we say, "Oh, I don't know if I believe that or not. You know, I'll just do what I think." Brothers and sisters, God wants to give us deeper and deeper faith. Here was Moses hearing the word of the Lord, and he couldn't follow it. His own pride took charge in his life. And it does that for us too, doesn't it? We want to be good. We want to serve others. We can't, somehow we have a hard time stopping talking about myself. I was with a group of people once where a woman, there was a lot of women, and it was a woman sitting there closest or nearest to me that I could hear. And she talked the entire time, no matter who was speaking. She was trying to talk to us. So we changed seats at the break. But that's it. We get so caught up in us that we even step right in when someone else is trying to speak. And we go off on a whole other track. Be polite to our neighbors, always. But first of all, listen for the Lord. Lord, do you have something to say to me? And it might be during that day you pick up a Bible and you see something, or someone, a coworker, as I've said to you before, a coworker comes by you and he says something that really makes sense to you, and you know you would not have thought it. God is good. God is good. He doesn't speak to us all the time by a long shot. I think in my own life maybe twice. But I know what he's saying in the scripture. I know what he's asking us to do. And that's what we want to follow. Follow him. Follow his word. If today you hear his voice, says Psalm 95, harden not your hearts. And you know the way we harden our hearts is we think we're too busy. I'm too busy. I can't take time for that. In other words, what you think you should do should take precedence over God. And when you sit and wait on the Lord, you'll hear nothing for days. God is testing you. Are you listening to him? Are you waiting upon him? And then one day you may pick up the scriptures and open and say, oh my goodness, I never saw that word before. I never saw that sentence before. I never heard it before. And you pause. God has blessed somebody to say it, or God himself has made room that his word be spoken, that you may hear and understand and follow. That's what we want to do with God's word. Read it. I would say even children who by the time they're in the sixth grade or seventh grade, encourage them, your children, encourage them to read just even one paragraph daily of the Bible. We should do one whole chapter at least daily. But please, become acquainted with God's word, for it is living. It can change our lives. Brothers and sisters, I know that you listening are saying, oh, I can do it. I'll do it sometime, but not now. No, stop now. Listen to the word of God and know his love for you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.